Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Isn't that good? Amen. Kiddos, that's good, isn't it? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. There's only one reason a child should obey the Lord. Excuse me, obey their parents. It's because by then they can obey the Lord. Okay, see how I did that? Yeah, I'm good at giving away punchlines too. You ought to hear me tell a joke and give those away pretty quick. The truth is that there's one way for a child to obey the Lord, and that is to obey their parents. And so I remind you tonight that the great motivation for obedience is not the parents did everything right or the way that they acted or if they said the way the child wanted to receive it. Those aren't the motivations for obedience. The only reason a child should obey is because it is right by the Lord. It is obedient unto the Lord to be obedient to your parents. In verse number 2, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Lord, we ask that you would meet with us tonight. We pray for a blessing over your people. I thank you for the wonderful congregation that's gathered together here tonight. We pray that you're honored with our willingness to obey your word. I pray that you'd guide us in our understanding of it. Lord, we pray that it would not just be a time of teaching. Lord, we don't want another lesson. Father, we want your Holy Spirit to speak to our heart and that we might obey what you have for us. And so we pray as your Spirit delivers the message tonight that you'd get honor for it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Last week we spoke on the subject of respect. I love that declaration, respect is correct. It is right for us to have respect, to give respect, to receive respect. I tell you again tonight that respect is correct. We talked about what the Bible expects in the area of honor. I remind you that honor is not just to be given to the parent. Honor is something that he expects of those who are believers. We are to know how to honor one another. That doesn't mean that we're pacifist or that we just are yes men and we just always get along no matter what we're told. But there is a certain level of honor that's expected. In fact, I remind you that the Christians are expected to honor their government. We're expected to honor our government. I said a word about that last week, but suffice it to say, we are to honor our government. We're also, according to Romans 13:7, if we're going to be obedient to Romans 13:7, render therefore unto all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Christian employees should honor their employers. In 1 Timothy 6:1, let as many servants as under the yoke count their masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. You say, well, I don't like my boss. Well, really, you have one boss you're representing, and it isn't the company you work for. It's the Lord God Almighty. And if you in your workplace maybe, if you show dishonor to your boss at work, you're really showing dishonor to your God in heaven, and he calls for us to honor. That doesn't mean we have to get along with. It doesn't mean we can't disagree. It doesn't mean that we can't have hard conversations. But there is an honoring way in which those should be done. And we recognize that churches honor their leaders. In 1 Timothy 5:17, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. I also recognize that that is a conditional commandment that is conditional. Let those that honor, that rule well. It's the elder that does well that is counted worthy of double honor. But we recognize that honor is still essential. We recognize in Romans 12:10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Do you know that you're to honor each other? That you're to honor one another? When I talk to you or when I talk about you, that's a hard one, isn't it? Sometimes talking to you, I can show you plenty of honor. It's when we get to talking about each other that honor seems to disappear. That's not just being nice. He's not asking us to be nice. He's asking us to, in loving compassion and affection for one another, to show honor to one another. Churches are to honor their widows, 1 Timothy 5:3, and husbands are to honor their wives, in 1 Peter 3:7, wives are to honor their husbands, Ephesians 5:33. Husbands and wives should honor their marital vows, Hebrews 13:4. Children, of course, are to honor their parent. The Bible is very full with this reality that you can live this life, and you can live this life in such a way where you are demonstrating honor to the people around you. That you can run around through life as an old curmudgeon and not getting along with anybody. You can do that, but really the command of God is that we should be able to honor one another, honor those who deserve the honor that has been given them. And then we as we saw last week, point number one, expect respect. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Parents should expect respect. They should just expect it. Don't settle for less. Don't allow yourself to give up your role as a parent. Even if you want to be your child's friend, that's really it's a dangerous thing. Your child wasn't given a friend. Your child was given a parent, and so we should expect respect from our children. Parents should teach respect. We should teach our children how to have respect. You'd say, well, why do they need to know respect? Well, I just read a whole list of verses of all the places they're going to have to learn how to show honor. How are they ever going to learn how to show honor to their government, show honor to the policeman, to show honor to their boss, show honor to each other, show honor to their pastor, show honor to the other leaders in the church? How are they ever going to learn to do that? As an adult, they are only going to learn it if they've seen it modeled for them inside the home. And so parents, you can teach your child how to show and honor respect. You say, well, how would I do that? Well, I would teach him to honor and respect. I would teach him to honor and respect the people that they should be honoring now. Just teach them to do that. Teach them to honor their pastor. Teach them to honor their Sunday school teacher. Teach them to honor other little kids. Teach them to honor you. They should be respectful. By that, I mean it in its legitimate way, full of respect. Yes, they can be selfish, but that's how we found them. That's not how we leave them. And so we teach our child respect. I encourage you to teach them. Sometimes that's going to incur correction. Proverbs 13:24, we recognize that he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth betimes. That means he's going to follow all the way through, and he'll do it in a quick way. He'll go about it quickly. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? I encourage you, teach your children to show respect. Secondly, we reward respect. I'm going to work on my R's this week, so that way I don't have any troubles with you next week. But we can reward respect. We can reward that. And praise your child for the times they show respect. I still do that with our sons. You'd say, well, you're just the model of godly parenting. No, not at all. But it blows me over when it happens. I'm like, whoa, hey, good job. And I don't want to beat you now. That was great. Way to go. That's awesome. You know, and it really is. It's a refreshing thing to hear of a young man that knows how to show honor. That's a refreshing thing. And so when you hear it, it jumps out at you. And I know that many of you have. Isn't it a wonderful thing when somebody in the store comes to you and says, my, your kids are so well behaved. Don't you love that? That is simply a sign of a parent who's taken the time to expect their child to respect their surroundings, respect the people around them, say yes, sir, and no, sir, and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. I promise you, if you want to be distinct from a lost and dying world, teach your child to respect. They'll shine like a bright light in a very dark place. And so you can honor that child. And I encourage you, if somebody comes and says, hey, you know what? Your kid did awesome. Man, make a big deal about that to the kid. Make a big deal about that to your child. Say, hey, you know what? I got the biggest compliment today, and they were talking about you. And I tell you, that child will remember your praise. I think our children remember our praise far longer than they remember correction. I just believe that. It doesn't mean we don't correct, but if you want to plant a garden, you only pull weeds for a certain amount of time, and then you plant flowers. Okay, so take the time to plant the good things in their life and point out how they're doing and really begin to reward them for that. Reward your children for respect. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Our children, I think we can set our kids on a course if they learn this pattern, right? If they learn the pattern that when I respond the way that pleases God, blessings come. When I do not respond the way that pleases God, blessings don't come. right? So there's a certain flow of blessings that come from living in your home. And you say, well, no. We make it hard on our kids. Yeah, but the fact that they have anything really is awesome, right? And so you have a certain amount of blessings that flow across the life of that child. And I want my kids to know that that blessing keeps flowing when you're walking in right relationship with your dad. Why? Because I want them to know when they leave my home, they can still apply that principle. They can go outside of the home and they can say, you know, if I honor God with my life, if I let him use me and work in my life as a husband to love my family and my wife, if I do those things, God's blessings just keep roaring in my life. As soon as I pull back and I start going after what I want, boy, it seems like God pulls back on the blessings. I want them to have that experience before they ever leave my home. I tell you, we can reward and we can bless, and I encourage you to correct and reward. Do both and make it so that your child is very well aware of how life works with the Lord. You honor and you respect his leadership, good things will happen. And then we come to the point I wanted to hurry to, and this is the part we did not cover last week, but I am reminded that it is right for a child, that is right for a parent who is teaching a child to show respect. How can I teach my child respect? I believe that it is best when it is shown to the child. Respect is, I think, best caught, not taught. You think about what God has done in your life as a disciple. I think of the people who have taught me what it was to be a Christian. Do you know that Christianity was not displayed in front of me best in a class setting? Okay. In other words, I learned a lot as I would go through discipleship, or as I was in devotions, or as I, you know, I'd sit down and my grandparents would do daily devotions with us, and my dad would do devotions with us. But can I tell you, I don't remember a single one. I just don't. I can't sit here and tell you, man, my dad devoted 1 Timothy 2, and it was amazing. I don't remember, not even one of them. That's bad. No, it's not, because we're not trying to stuff their brain full of knowledge. We're trying to give them principles to live by. Can I tell you what I do remember? I do remember how much my dad showed affection to my mom. I do remember how no one had a chance to even start to chip in between their unity. And as a child, I tried. And there wasn't a way to work in between mom and dad. They were a unit. They were a cohesive team. And no kid was going to work their way in through that. I didn't have to have my mom and dad sit down with a book and lay it out and say, okay, here's how this works. You've got to be a cohesive. I watched it happen. You know, so much of what we want our children to learn, we can give them a quick shortcut. You know, how many of y'all are first generation Christians? Your parents were not, or you got saved later in life. How many of you all? And we have several through the auditorium here. Can I tell you that as a third generation Christian, can I tell you how much of a shortcut I had compared to what my dad had? My mom, my grandparents were, but my dad really kind of cut away from all of that. And I feel like I've had a real far, I just had a head start. I had so much of a head start because the things my dad had to learn in discipleship, I was watching emulated in front of me. And as first generation Christians know, have you ever done that? You walk around, you say, man, I wish I had had somebody teach me that when I was a kid. My goodness, I wish somebody had taught me to do that when I was a kid. You know how much different my life would have been if somebody had showed me that when I was this tall, instead of having to figure it out after I'd already made all the mistakes? Can I tell you tonight that what you're doing for your child is you're giving them that head start. You're giving them that ability to have to avoid so much. And so we show our respect. The Bible tells us that we are people who are under authority. Did you know that? That you're under authority tonight. You say, well, I don't like the term authority. Well, it might make us uncomfortable, the idea of authority, but the truth is it's real. We have authority in our lives. I have an authority in my life. My wife has authority in her life. You know who that authority is? It's me. My wife has an authority in her life. My children have an authority in their life, and we've taught them. Man, you misbehave in the home, and you misbehave, and you misbehave, and you misbehave. Your mom is an authority, and she's going to deal with you, but they all know there's this line. They all know there's this line. And if you cross that line of authority with mama, guess who you have to answer to when dad gets home? Because they know the authority is not ultimately mommy. The authority ultimately is dad. That someone is going to deal with them. And he, hopefully, is scarier than mom, right? I want them to know. You know, I never have to go down that road. I just don't. I can avoid all of that. I can avoid all that trouble. I can avoid all of the consequences if I just learn to obey and honor this one authority. The reality is it's not because dad is the authority. I mentioned it earlier already. It is best for our children to learn how to obey their parents because they're ultimately obeying who? The Lord. That's absolutely right. So authority, that's how authority works, is that there is an authority being passed down, each one filling its spot, working and being faithful, growing children for the honor and glory of God. Romans 13:1 says, let every soul, even yours, every soul, what would be? Yeah, every soul, let every soul be subject unto the higher power. And here he explains it. For there is no power but of God. Okay, the powers that be then are ordained, selected, put in place by God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. And of course we can go and we could find plenty of scriptures that say, well, what happens if that authority isn't submitted and surrendered to God? And that's perfectly fine. I understand all of those things. But unless that just happens to be the case in your one instance, I would tell you it is right for us to be those who submit to our authorities, to submit to the authorities in our lives. I want you to understand, just think about a couple of the authorities we have in our life, right? The authority of Scripture. It's good for us as parents to show respect. How do we show respect? Well, show it to the Word of God. A show respect to the Word of God. You could teach your child by demonstrating respect. You could demonstrate respect to the Word of God. The Word of God has the authority, right? The Word of God is the authority. 1 Corinthians 11:1, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Paul said it himself, I am as good an example to you as I am willing to follow Jesus. And so follow after me. Why? Because he was following the words of God. He was following the revelation of God. And so you and I can be as those who show authority to the Word of God. You think of Deuteronomy 17:18-20, and it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him a copy of his law in a book out of that which is before the priests and Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, that he turn not aside from the commandments to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days and his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. It, right here, the Bible is simply describing that in Deuteronomy, the commandment was given that the kings, there weren't even kings around at that time, but God knew what was going to happen. He said, listen, when those kings, when those leaders step into roles of leadership in your life, I want them to hand write a copy of the Word of God. Now, by the way, you say, well, I'm pretty busy. I don't know if I have time to read my Bible. None of us rule a kingdom. None of us are leading a kingdom. And he says, I want the kings to sit down every day. I want them writing the Word of God. Teach them to write out a copy of the Word of God. And then I want them to read that copy, and I want them to read it and follow it as if they themselves were like one of the priests. I want them soaking their life in the Word of God. Can I tell you tonight, it is good for our children to see us respect his Word. To love it, to adore it, to honor it, to respect his Word. If dad, listen to me, if you have to unbury dad's Bible from under a mountain of TV guides, they don't do TV guides anymore, do they? Now they stopped that? Okay, what, like 3 days ago, four, five, maybe a year ago, did they stop doing that? If dad has to go find his Bible and it's under a pile of stuff, every Saturday evening, every Sunday morning, you got to run around and find it. Can I tell you, maybe we're not showing the kind of respect it deserves. I encourage you, find a way in your home to honor the Word. What if you just took it and read it? What if you took it and read it to them? I'm encouraging you to teach your children, show your children respect for the Word of God. Can I tell you, it'd be a bad thing for us to ask our children to read the Bible every day and then not do it ourselves, or ask our children every day. And I'll be honest, I know what it's like to get busy, and I know what it's like to get hurried and those kind of things. I recognize that. But let it be that we are doing our very best, the best of our ability, to give honor to the Word of God, to show respect for the word of God. If God is your number one authority, right? If you're following after him, let's give it number one place. Let's give it number one priority and show respect to his word. You know, you can show respect by showing respect to your spouse. That you can demonstrate respect by giving respect to your spouse. I think of how often I drop the ball on that one. I'd love to have some wise crack about my wife. My wife's really respectful to me. She's really loving to me. And I tell you, sometimes I don't know that I do enough. I don't do enough to show her respect. I want my home. If my home's going to be a place where respect is demonstrated, man, there's just not a better place for my kids to see it than how I treat my wife. Can I tell you, if when no one's around, I'm cussing my wife and yelling at my wife and hurting my wife's feelings and I make her feel this big, don't be surprised, but your teenage boy is probably going to do the same thing. And not to another woman, just to her even. Just even to his own mother. But can I tell you, it'll be worse for his wife. If we want to stop a cycle of abuse, we have to stop the cycle of verbal first. We go verbal before we go physical. Let's stop it and really take into account. You say, well, you know what? I've been abusive, or I am abusive. Can I tell you, if there's abuse going on in the home, you need help. I've said this before, you need to get help. It's vital. And wives, if there's abuse going on in the home, verbal or otherwise, you need to get help. Okay? And don't try to do it alone, and don't try to pacify, and don't try to make excuses. Get the help that's needed for the home to survive. Your children are watching this, and I encourage you, show your wife love. Husband, show your wife love. Wives, show your husband respect. You'd say, well, I show him love. Okay, yes, but if you don't respect him, like in public around his friends, or you don't tell him how much you respect him or how awesome you think he is, he's probably not hearing it. I've said this before, you know this, but God, guys don't hear the word love, they see it in respect. You can tell your guy you love him, but if they disrespect him, you wasted the words, okay? So show him love by showing him honor, showing him respect. And gentlemen, show your wife love. In fact, it's not, we think many times that love is something we shower them with. It really, we should be drowning them with it, okay? Because our whole atmosphere, the environment we build around us should be of love for her. That's who it should be for. That we should build around us an environment of safety, encouragement, blessing, and build a place that's just a greenhouse for that relationship to grow, okay? And so show honor and love. Think of Ephesians 5:33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see as she reverence her husband. One psychologist and marriage counselor suggests that if he observes one or both spouses in a marriage showing contempt to the other, he considers this the greatest indicator that the marriage is in trouble. The greatest indicator is not some isolated event over here or some major event over here. The greater indicator that something is wrong is even just in the little bit of disrespect that passes almost as if it's not noticed. Those are the big indicators. It's the seismic reading that shows us there's a rumbling underneath the surface. And so I remind you, sometimes we can, anybody get grumpy? I love that old joke, right? I love the old joke that, I woke up grumpy this morning. Most mornings I let him sleep, right? Anybody ever heard that one, right? No? Okay. Well, two of you got it. There is an old adage, it tells an old anecdote, says this, there was a wife who was trying so hard to please her husband, but it seemed that he never was happy with what she did, including how she made breakfast eggs. One day she scrambled them, but he said he wished she had fried them. The next day she fried them, but he wished that he had scrambled them. I'm going to let that happen. The next day, she fried them, but he wished they had been scrambled. The third day, she had it all figured out. She scrambled one and fried the other, right? That's perfect. Except he said, you fried the wrong one, okay? So the problem was, it wasn't the eggs at all. The problem was, there was a guy who couldn't be happy. And the truth is, sometimes that's the atmosphere we build in our home. It just can't be happy. I can't be happy. Can I tell you, let's build homes that show so much respect that it becomes the environment. And then we show respect in society. I want my children. You see, I don't know if it's a... I think there's a pollution in our society that works its way into the Christian home. And it's this, I don't know if it's the cowboy way or it's the individual, right? It's the individual, where the rugged individualism. I don't need anybody. Okay, that's fine. Just don't read the scripture. Because, I mean, it's going to totally shoot that in the foot. Because then God put us together in groups called the church. But whatever. And in groups called the family. And in groups called, at any rate. But we have this rugged individualism, right? That this kind of pull yourself up by the bootstraps mentality. And we, if we're not careful, that works its way into everything we do and even how we raise our kids. And if we're not careful, basically what we're teaching them is rebellion. We're teaching them, I don't want passive kids. I want my kids to know and to value something and then to go all after it. But to be disagreeable just for the purpose of disagreement, well, you haven't accomplished anything. I would encourage you, instead of teaching your children to be disagreeable with other people, teach them to really value something. And if that means you have to cut away from that which is not valued, then you do that. Okay? So in other words, we teach our children to love church. If we teach them to love the church, then anything that would interfere with that time at church gets cut out. Even if it's something that's fun, man, I'm sorry, we love church. So we're going to put church first in our lives. And we know that that's where truth is. And I want you to be a leader there one day, bud. So I want you to be able to, I want you to be able to watch God work. So we're going to love the church. That means that we're not going to give a, we're not going to give any indicator of acceptability of anything that pull us away from church. Right? So we teach our kids that. What I'm saying is that sometimes in our society, we begin to be, I don't know if it's a, the way that it's been taught, but I want to encourage us. I'll just jump straight to it instead of working around it. In society, we need to be those who know how to show honor, okay? We ought to be able to show honor to those who are around us. I encourage you, man, teach your kids to love the widows on your block, even if they're not in your church. I encourage you to do that. Teach them. Can I say sometimes soul winners can be negligent here because we're more interested in seeing them get saved than actually loving the person? Right? I think it's a dangerous thing if we love people for a notch on the belt and we got a notch on our soul winner's Bible, but we'll never see that person again. That's a dangerous thing. Just checking a box, that's not why we want them won. We want them won because we care about that person, because we care about their family, we care about their soul. And so if we're not careful, I remind you that there needs to be a love for the world around us, okay? So now I've said these two sides, right? We need to be those who can love the people that are in the world we're in. And at the same time, can reject society. I'm not calling for a bunch of Amish people. I'm saying the ways and direction of society are wrong. Okay? And we've got Christian kids that are reaching the age of 18, 19 years old that don't know if homosexuality is right or wrong. Yeah. That's just Bible illiteracy. Okay? That's not. It's not a preference. It's not a preference. God's already made pretty clear how he feels on this. Well, you know, the truth is that in history, the church has got it wrong. Yeah, sure, they got it wrong, but not on the things God really specifically, directly spoke about. And the truth is that we live in a society that accepts children to wholesale buy their garbage. We can teach our children to show honor and love to people that don't believe the same way we do. And at the same time, we don't have to swallow their garbage. We don't have to have their junk. We don't have to be plugged into their world. The Bible says in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, then Peter and other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 2, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Pray for everyone, pray for all of them, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. Proverbs 16:31, the hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. So teach your children to give respect to people and not to the system of society. We can hate the direction they're going and love the person. I think of my neighbor who is a honest man, who is a kind man, and the ways that he has shown, he's a great neighbor, he's a wonderful neighbor. I don't want my kids to live like him. I don't want my kids to live the same party lifestyle he's built, and I don't want them to live in the same choices that they've made. But every time my kids get a chance, I try to show them respect. I say, hey, how are you doing? We shake hands. I talk to him. I tell you, he did a huge favor for me while I was gone just recently, just a couple weeks ago. Jumped in and helped us. It was just such a blessing. And I try to talk to my boys about how much of a blessing that man was to me. And at the same time, I want them to know so clearly that Dad would not be not approve of them doing the junk that he does. I want them to know I care about that guy. I love that guy. I want to see him come to Christ. But we don't have to buy into that junk, okay? Secondly, I think we need to be those in society. I think we need to teach them how to properly honor people around us. Teach your children to honor the elderly. No? Okay, wake up. Teach your children to honor the elderly. Now. There, okay, we're getting close. Teach your children to honor the elderly. Okay, good. Thank you. I mean, come on, represent here or something. But the truth is, teach them to honor the elderly. We've got to. If we don't teach our kids to honor the elderly, I can't tell you. It still is. Even though our culture doesn't think so, it is still wrong for a child to run in front of an elderly person trying to walk through a door. Man, I know that's opinion. I know I don't have a Bible verse for that. But where are you going to teach your child respect if he doesn't learn how to do it for others? If he doesn't learn how to do it for someone older than him? I tell you, it is right for us to teach our children how to be respectful. You say, well, I try to. Here at the church, I try to. No. I don't want my kids to walk through the door. I don't care if I'm at a restaurant. I don't care if I'm at my house. I don't care if I'm at a store. I don't care if I'm at a church. I want my kids to not walk through a door and not think for a moment they don't have to stop and hold it. I want them to hold it. And by the way, guys, just so we know, this has nothing to do with parenting. The rule is that you hold the door till the next able-bodied man walks through the door. I'm not holding the door for a full stinking grown man. I'll slam it on you is what's going to happen. I'm going to, bam, get the door. No, I'm just kidding. But seriously, I am so sick. Six grown men walk through the door. No, dude, you take it now. At any rate, so we're going to practice afterwards, okay? But let me get to the end here. The truth is that we have got to show respect, and we've got to model it for our children, okay? We model it in the church. We model respect for one another. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let others each esteem other better than themselves. You say, well, nobody's gonna be an authority in my kid's life but me. Well, that's a real shrouded way to live your life. It's going to be a real bummer whenever your kid is 17, 16, 17 years old, and you don't know anything, because kids get that way, and instead you have an older man in the church that they do honor and respect, and that guy comes in and helps. You're going to find out real quick, boy, I'm glad I taught my kid to listen to somebody else. I'm glad that they know other men of God can speak into their lives, and they don't have to be protected and shielded from truth because it didn't come from me. I'm so grateful. I'll tell you right now, I'm grateful for the Sunday school teachers that have invested in my kids' life. And I'm not even talking about in the Bible class time. I'm talking about the time they'll spend just talking with them before or after church, or the time they'll show up at my house and they have a soda and they just want to hang out and talk for a couple minutes, or they'll grab them, go get an ice cream and have a heavy talk with them. I love that, because what that means is that 15, 16, 17 years old, when I don't know a single thing and I'm dumber than a hammer, even though their life has depended on me to get to this stinking point in their life, that there's some man that will be able to help and come alongside me. I love that. I want my boys to know to honor the men of our church and to respect the men of our church. I encourage you, let us be the kind that teach our children inside the church how to honor one another. And then, can I be real honest with you? We need to show respect to our kids. You know, sometimes I fail in that one real bad. I speak hyperbolically a lot. But can I tell you also, sometimes I get gruff and I get my mind focused on one thing. I've got this one thing I'm trying to get done, and then they become a distraction to that one thing, and really they are the number one thing, and I've let this other thing steal my attention. And instead of speaking to them in respect, I'm short, or I'm snappy at them, or I'm gruff with them. Boy, I hope they don't think that's what respect looks like. But I modeled it. Can I tell you, we've got to be those that show that you can show respect even to somebody who is younger than you. I hope that my kids know that they can show respect to their kids one day. If they're not, if my boys are going to know how to show honor as unto the weaker vessel, it's probably going to be in the season where they are the weaker vessel. They're smaller than me, littler than me. They can't handle as much as I can. And then I'm gruff and rough with them. I wonder how much patience they're going to have when their wife is smaller and not able to take on as much as they do. And I could be modeling right now the kind of respect they need to carry on into the rest of their life. I want to give you really quick, I don't know if it's in your notes, I didn't look at it. I think maybe in the conclusion area, or they're just kind of some quick bulleted things. I wanted to show these to you. So if you're taking notes, you want to jot these down. I'm not going to preach every one of them. I just want to give them to you. I thought these were powerful. Parents, we begin to undermine our own respect. We can undermine our own authority in the house, okay? So these are just some ideas on when we begin to lose our authority, okay? When we begin to chip away at our influence in the home. Number one, when they hear their parents criticize authority, you begin to lose your own. Do you know that? When you criticize your boss, you're beginning to steal from your own authority in the home. Because if you can criticize somebody that deserves respect, one day your kid will be the one doing it. So I encourage you, remember that we got to show honor or we're going to steal our own honor away. Number two, when they see their parents violating scripture, if this is number one and we break it, this is where our authority lies and we can't stand in line with this book, we begin to steal our own authority. We begin to lose our authority in front of our children when they feel that their parents don't love one another. We begin to steal their authority. They start having to take sides to protect. Well, somebody wants to protect. One of the boys wants to protect their mom. The other one wants to stand by their dad and be loyal to their dad. And all of a sudden, we don't get along with one another. And we've taught our kids to pick sides. And one parent in that mix is losing authority. In reality, both of them are. Okay? When they're not disciplined for disobedience, when you let the law slide, then they have no respect for it. And so if they know right and wrong and you don't know right or wrong, you're going to begin to lose authority very quickly. When they are rewarded materially in spite of bad behavior, oh, well, fine, he said he was sorry, and then we give it to him. And parents, I know that one so well. I know it so well. I have a daughter now. I didn't know it when all my boys were little soldiers, and then now I've got one that's not a little soldier and doesn't just fall right in lockstep, which I'm going to fix one day. And I find out that sometimes it's easy to give because I want to give. I love them. And I've had to even kind of slap my own hand because giving to the kid at that time isn't what's best for the kid. And so I encourage you, we begin to lose our own respect when we give in. When they are compensated by parents who pity them, we begin to lose respect. Many times this happens in a divided home or a single parent home or a divorced home. We don't need to have pity for our kids. God knows where they're at and his grace will provide, okay? It will supply. When they are allowed to participate in activities which they are told they would not enjoy unless they obey. Let me read that again. I think I misread it. When they are allowed to participate in activities which they are told they would not enjoy unless they obey. So teenagers, they need to hold firm boundaries, okay? And so you're going to have firm boundaries. And so some occasions might be time for mercy, but if you're just going back constantly on your word and you say, well, you're not going out, you're not going to the youth thing, you're not doing this, you're not doing that, and then you keep going back on that, you're starting to lose that authority. And so I just want to encourage you tonight, we can expect respect, and most importantly, we can teach it and we can model it. And so I want to thank you all so much. Let's stand together tonight. I want to thank you for coming. And I hope that this is a blessing to you. It's an area where my parents invested in my life. And I hope it's been a blessing that you might invest it in your kids' lives. Let's pray. Lord, I love you and I thank you for the night you've given to us. You are good to us and we thank you for it. We pray that you'll get honor and glory out of everything we've learned and seen from your word tonight. We pray that you would get honor for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.